This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Pause up, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, I love all kinds of dogs, mutts, purebreds. On this special episode today, we have a rare breed, a legal beagle. Yep. He and his law firm have been championing for the rights of pet parents and, yes, underdogs. Please, at this time, give pause and applause to attorney Jeremy Cohen from the Boston Dog Lawyers. Welcome, welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. So happy to be on O-Behave.
Well, we're happy to have you. I love what you are doing and your team. And we're going to find out what actually motivated this good attorney to get it into the practice of pet law after we take this quick break. So you all know the drill. We're going to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I have a special guest today, and we all need to tune in. He is attorney Jeremy Cohen. He is from the Boston Dog Lawyers practice, and we're going to cover a lot of legal issues affecting our pets. And Jeremy, you know, you could practice any kind of law, but if you could help our followers, can you tell us a little bit about what motivated you? I understand it had to do with your stepchild's dog, Jesse.
Right. About 15 years ago, I was a super bored lawyer.
Super bored lawyer. Put that on a t-shirt.
And also, I was underachieving. The goals I had when I was younger were not materializing. I wasn't making any type of a difference. And sometimes you just hope and pray and you just never know if you're going to be in the right place at the right time. But I was, because my stepkid's dog, Jesse, a German Shepherd, had been accused of biting somebody in a local town. And because of that, they were holding a hearing to determine what, if anything, should happen to Jesse. And all over the country, when a dog bites or scares somebody, and now even when it barks too much, cities and towns hold these types of hearings.
Okay.
And I went to represent Jesse and Jesse's true owner, which was my stepkid's dad, and the place was packed. Everybody in the hearing wanted Jesse dead. I couldn't believe it. They were so angry at the owner that they said Jesse has got to be removed, not just from the city, but from this earth. And I knew Jesse. You can imagine I was just meeting my future stepkids, and nobody's happy to see a new person in the house. But Jesse was always so thrilled when I'd come over. And I loved Jesse, taking him for walks. It was my first dog that I got to be responsible for. So I felt this was an important night to represent Jesse. And quickly, the hearing authority, usually a board of selectmen, can be a mayor, chief of police, got to the decision that Jesse should be euthanized. And it was all the people in the room, their emotions, saying that Jesse reminded them of an Al-Qaeda terrorist laying
oh
in
wait. Oh my gosh.
And that, and how much they wanted to punish the owner, because Jesse did have a history of escaping, especially pet owners, going from the car to the house. And that's when a lot of us relax and we think, come on, you know the route right from the door to the door and you'll go in. But if there's a trigger, your dog's going to take off. And I've seen this so many times. And Jesse would take off if he saw triggers. But this time he took off, went after a small dog, and the woman trying to protect her dog put her leg up and he bit it. And suddenly I had to come home and tell everybody that basically, I failed. I didn't know what happened, but Jesse was determined to be euthanized. And it's always somebody at these hearings who starts with this phrase, "Don't get me wrong, I love dogs." That's the person who is going to make a motion or to vote to euthanize the dog. I've seen it dozens of times.
Yeah, that's
and
a good one.
We needed to appeal it and to figure out how to save Jesse.
How did you end up winning the case and saving Jesse's life?
We went to court, we made a deal. And at that time, the deal was that Jesse wouldn't come back to the town that he was from, but that he'd be able to live. He just, essentially, this owner of this dog, my stepkid's dad, could not own Jesse again, period. So we needed to find a new owner. And so often, it really blurs the line, who do I represent, the owner or the pet? But most times, we can rehabilitate the owner through training, through better equipment, to show the hearing authority or the court you can trust the owner. In this case, this was before the law changed where you could just banish a dog at the time. And so we went with that. Ultimately, in his last few years, Jesse came and lived with me and my wife.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, it is kind of funny when you get your calling. For you, it's a bark and you could practice any kind of law. Can you tell people a little bit about the Boston Dog Lawyers Group, because you just got a new client. It's a big deal. DWAA. What does that mean?
Being able to get a call from the Dog Lawyers Association of America saying, we recognize what you do, what you've been doing for the last 10 years, and we need a lawyer on call just to be with us. They don't have a lot of legal disputes, but they need information sometimes. And what that organization does has always impressed me, and to suddenly be asked to be part of that. It's been an amazing 10 years. This year, especially, more national recognition. Being on your show is another great stepping stone for me to be here, because I put my head down, I work hard, and you don't know if people are going to notice or not, but I don't even think about that. You just think about the next dog, the next case, the next call. We get 3 calls a day, every day of the week.
Wow.
20% of them from around the country. We have a team of 8 now. And for some reason, when we opened it, calling it Boston Dog Lawyers, I made it plural, but who knew? I never knew if there'd be a second one.
Well, that's called, you know, you're optimistic, and that's all right. Clairvoyant. Well, you know, even though it's Boston Dog Lawyers, you are representing ones. And I want to get some topics covered, because this, we could have you on all day. Seriously, Jeremy, and we're definitely going to have you on back. But I want to ask you, there's an area that I want to talk about, and that's called Ollie's Law. And that happened in Massachusetts in 2024. There's a lot of our folks that follow OBehave that have dogs that they keep at boarding facilities and doggy daycares. Many of them are very, very well run. My superpower, I teach pet first aid. I'm a master instructor with a real dog and a real cat. And I certify a lot of boarding facilities in vet approved first aid, but not every place is up to snuff, right? So I know that you had a role in Ollie's Law. Can you tell us what was going on? Because it sounded like this lady that owned Ollie, Amy Baxter, some bad things happened to Ollie. What happened?
My client, very diligent pet owner, she had moved to Massachusetts and she sought out a boarding facility so Ollie would have friends during the day, something to do. And she did a checkup of the facility, felt good about it, and did it like a dry run. And the first day Ollie was there, within an hour, something very bad happened. And it turns out that there were 6 dogs there. The other 5 attacked Ollie. And Ollie, the first call that was made was not to my client, but to the owner of the boarding facility, to say, what should we do? Well, it's obvious what you should do. You should take the dog to the vet. Except in this instance, there was only one employee there. And that employee was terrified to leave because she would end up leaving the rest of the dogs alone. There was a vet 200 feet away, a veterinarian.
Oh my gosh.
He couldn't even bring the dog there. Ultimately, they downplayed what happened to Ollie, called my client. She went to pick him up and he was close to death. He ended up having major internal injuries. I've seen a record that said more than 400 punctures, but ultimately he lived for 40 days but succumbed. And what we came to learn is Ollie was just one of dozens, almost 100 of calls that I've received through that time about dogs getting hurt or killed at boarding facilities. And it just lined up that we had the right client with the right voice, the right energy, and enough of an egregious story that this made the papers, this got the attention. And it's been true, and it's true in most states, boarding facilities are not regulated. And it's not safe for our pets. And when you bring your pet to a boarding facility, you don't know. We assume that everything is safe and they want what's best for your pet, but that's not often the case. There are some great ones out there and they're going to get better because we joined a coalition of about 8 people in the industry called Ollie's Law Coalition. And we ultimately, it took 2 cycles, but we got the law passed to start regulating boarding facilities.
Now, is it regulating boarding facilities in the state of Massachusetts or beyond?
In Massachusetts.
But that's a good precedent, right? Oh, I wanted to sound like a legal beagle.
That
did I?
Really did. You nailed it. And because while animal welfare is often on the federal level, these are state regulations. These would be governed by, so each state legislature could make these rules and regulations. It was really difficult because you would never believe who would be against regulation in the pet industry. Who wouldn't want it to be safer for our pets? But it became very obvious who doesn't want regulation. And it's very concerning to me about who doesn't want regulation. Well, we're going to
spill the beans.
No, I can't. I can't right now.
Come on.
But it's just someone you wouldn't think, a group you wouldn't think. But the point is, we're not trying to close places down. That's not what we do. We're trying to make it
safer
for our pets. And so now we work with boarding facilities to say, here's what you need to do. And it's basic things. Do you have a fire emergency plan? If there's a fire, where are you going to bring the dogs? Do you have a place where they can all be chained up to a fence or something outside, kept safer, you know, with a collar and a leash, put on a fence somewhere? Do you have the basic tools to break up a dog fight? A CO2 cartridge. It's so inexpensive. It's just cold air. It's not going to hurt anybody, but it's going to get you some time to separate the dogs. Do you keep
Yes.
dogs of different weights separate, different sizes? Are all your animals who are in there vaccinated? We want there to be more than one person on staff. And this has received a lot of pushback. Well, we only have 5 dogs there. If I have a second employee, it won't be cost effective. But what if something goes wrong with a dog or with you? What if the person there gets hurt or has some type of seizure or the phone rings or somebody's at the door?
Or they're in the bathroom.
Bathroom break. We want one person there with a driver's license in a car so that if there's an emergency, they can go. Until we have a system of pet ambulance emergency.
Oh, that's
drivers.
My wish too, Jeremy. Yes.
I think we're getting closer with Uber starting to agree to take dogs. We need that. There's so many people who don't have cars who have an emergency with their pet, but we can't change everything all at once. But here, we just need to see the number of calls to my office go down on boarding facilities and ask questions, pet owners, when you go there. Have they had any incidents? Has a dog died there recently? If your pet is going to stay overnight, is there somebody there overnight to stay with the
exactly.
pet?
Exactly. Yeah. We've got some good ones in our area in Dallas, and they have checked those boxes, Jeremy. And getting them certified in pet first aid is also a must because pet parents want to know if something happened. You know, a dog can bleed out in 5 to 7 minutes with an arterial bleed. And if the vet clinic is 12 minutes away, they're DOA already 5 to 7 minutes. So those are like my sister boards her dogs and they have the check boxes because they want to make sure that staff has this overnight.
people. I love this. So can we get Ollie's Law national?
Well, there's a committee formulating the actual regulations. They'll be out in 6 months, June of 26.
Okay.
We just need people in every state to want to be interested in it. And there are a few states that already have it. And it's programs like yours that can make it national, can say every state needs an Ollie's Law.
Oh,
and
you know what? We're going to come back in the summer, sir.
I will be.
We're going to need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Attorney Jeremy Cohen of Boston Dog Lawyers about a New York situation that is finally kind of regarding pets as real legal members of the family, the immediate family. We're going to talk about that after we take this break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh, and I hope you're going to tune in and listen to Opie Hayes on Pet Life Radio with Arden Moore, because she's a delight.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Opie Hayes. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Opie Hayes Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. This is one of my favorite guests, because he's a doer, and he's a doer for pets, and he does it in a legal way. And he is Jeremy Cohen of the Boston Dog Lawyers. And Jeremy, the next case I wanted to talk to you about was about a dachshund named Duke. And this was a situation where Duke's, I guess it would be dog mom because it's her son, but Nan was walking Duke. Pick it up from there.
It might have been Duke's grand.
Oh, grand. Oh, yes,
sure.
It is. My bad. Yes. Yeah, grandmama.
Yeah. Amazing decision by a courageous judge in New York to say that a pet, while considered property in all states, can be a special type of property. And here, stepped even further to say a dog, pet, is a member of the family. And what happened here is Duke, with his walker caretaker, grandmother, was in a crosswalk, and a car came through and hit the dog in the crosswalk, and severely injuring Duke. And it was witnessed by the grandmother.
By Nan, yeah.
By Nan. And here, up until now, for the most part, witnessing something bad happen to your pet does not enable you to get any type of financial compensation. So pet owners often talk about the emotional distress of seeing something bad happen to their pet.
Absolutely.
And we know that is the same distress we feel that if it was a human family member. We know that. But the courts, legislators, they don't see it that way. And there's a lot of fear in seeing it that way, because the fear is that if the value of our pets go up under the law, then the costs for our pets will go up with insurance companies. If veterinarians are accused of harming a pet, their insurance rates will go up. And so there's been this great pushback for decades and decades. In this case, the judge said that Nan could recover for what happened, for being a witness in the same time and space of when this bad thing happened, by the dog getting hit by the car, so much so that she could recover for that, financial damages. And it's not about the money. This movement, recognize pets as more than property, it's not about the money. It's about if we can hold people accountable and
yes,
punish them in their wallets, that's how we're going to get behavior to change around our pets. And the judge was very courageous, but also very clear. This new pet as family member is strictly limited right now to a dog that's in a crosswalk that's being walked in New York and hit by a car.
All right. Well, little step forward, right? I guess, right? But
just
zone
baby
of danger principle, is that what this is all about?
Right. So if something bad happens to someone in our family and we don't witness it, you're not in the zone of danger. So somebody might call and say, people always think the vet hurt their dog. It's just not as often as people think. It's very rare. But if something, let's say there was a misdiagnosis, but you don't witness that negligent act, you can't recover for it. So the law wants to help people or compensate people for witnessing something bad. And it's very strict. One of the more famous cases is a family that found out that their son had died in an airplane crash. And they found out 7 hours, I think, afterwards. And they wanted to sue for emotional distress. And they weren't allowed to because they weren't at the scene of the crash. They weren't in the same time and space, the zone of danger. So, okay, that's time and space. The zone of danger is something a little bit more, and we've been using it at our firm. It works. People are starting to recognize it, that if your dog's being attacked, let's say by another dog, you're in the zone of danger. You might fear that you're being attacked. So exactly. In that zone of danger, Nan could have felt that she was going to be hit by the car. So it's a nuanced way of providing emotional distress without saying it's emotional distress, because people aren't ready for that. Courts aren't ready for that. But that New York case has led to a case that we recently had just 3 weeks ago. We got a decision on the case.
Hot off the press here on OBehave. Take it away, Jeremy Cohen.
From an appeals court judge, a single justice. So that's almost as high as you can get in the state, who said in a pet custody matter, it's suggested now that a pet is not a baseball card collection, the judge wrote, and that two people who are fighting over a dog, certainly if they have rights to the dog, the next layer of review by judges in Massachusetts should be what's in the best interest of the pet, because it is a family member. And with getting wording like that, well, it's not all inclusive. It doesn't apply to every case in every court in Massachusetts. It's something.
It's another crack in the door, right?
Right. Just like with New York, it was very narrow, but it was a step forward. And that's how we have to move the law for our pets and pet owners. Just baby steps, accept it, be happy with it, and build on it. And that's the way to change things here. Because if we do too much too soon, we're not going to get anywhere. It's just the state of the law. It's the state of the people who make decisions in our society right now. They're not ready for a big chunk.
I'm betting you're not a bored corporate lawyer anymore.
Every day the phone rings with something interesting, something we can work on, and sometimes that case where you can change things. It's a ton of fun.
Now, we could talk all day, but the last one I want to throw at you is pet nuptials, pet nups, because you were saying that this is a big deal, especially for the Gen Z. I mean, a lot of younger generations, which I love, are realizing that pets are a part of our family, and even if they have four legs, three legs, whatever, squawk. So, you're going to get married? Should you get a pet nuptial agreement?
If you're going to get a pet with somebody else, you should get some type of pet nuptial agreement, even if you're not getting married yet. If you're moving in together, you have to think. See, lawyers think in worst case scenarios, so it can be a little pessimistic, but you have to think, what if our relationship doesn't work out? We're adults. You each form a relationship with your pet. You each have it, your own language with the pet, your own bond. But just because a relationship with each other doesn't work out doesn't mean your relationship with the pet should end. And so prepare for that. Have something in writing. It can be on a napkin right now. We use text messages to try to piece it together. Something that says, if our relationship ends, we either share the pet 50-50, or we share costs 50-50, or one person pays the other $1,000 for the pet, or one person just gives the pet to someone.
I like this. I like this. Yeah.
And just prepare for it, because what happens is when the relationship ends, you want to share for a little while. Maybe you do. But if there's nothing in writing, it becomes a court case. Keep it from becoming a court case. Call a lawyer and spend 5% of what it would normally cost to fight a custody case to get something in writing that's enforceable in court. Have a contract.
It is a hot button item topic for sure, because there was a site called Kinship that did a survey this fall and said more than 2,000 pet parents were surveyed. And get this, everyone, 3 out of 5 said, yeah, we would seek legal action against their exes for custody of their pet. So I do. I dog.
That's good.
You can use that.
That's the beauty of a natural show. You get the language down. You really do.
I mean, that's an emotional button too. You know, you can take my baseball card collection, but don't touch my dog.
Do something in advance to protect your rights. instead of having to go to court.
So what is something that a dog has made you a better person and a better lawyer, Jeremy Cohen?
Amazingly, it was a case that we lost, and we through three different courts. We battled for this owner and this dog, and the dog had a really tough upbringing and had some major marks in his, on its record. But ultimately, we got a trainer and a behaviorist who said, this dog, it can't be rehabilitated. If it's let out, it will attack again. And that was devastating for me to have to tell the owner. And I met in person to tell him, and he insisted on meeting a second time. When we met the second time, he gave me a box. And in there were the ashes to his dog. And here was a guy that said, I don't care that we lost. I care that we fought. And you believed enough in me and in the dog to try to fight, to get the people lined up, to try to make the right decision the right way. Losing, okay, we can deal with that. But fighting back and making sure we got to the right decision. So I have those ashes. It touches me every day.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Win or lose, people need a voice. And that really has made an impact on me.
So what can people look for in 2026? What's going to happen on the legal front for not just dogs, but cats, other pets?
So starting to see states, Florida in particular, setting up these databases of abusers. If we can keep track of who's been convicted of abusing an animal or neglecting an animal.
Sort of like pedophiles in your neighborhood, right?
Right. Except sometimes it doesn't even have to be that. It could be pet owners who didn't feed their dog or didn't exercise their dog or didn't feed the cat or left them in squalor. So we can keep those people out of the pet industry. Right now, there's really no check on people who join the pet industry because there's no national database on that, even no state database. I think that's one thing we're going to see. We're going to see advancements in awarding people. It's never going to be the life-changing money that it should be when a family member passes due to the fault of somebody else, but we're going to see behaviors improve because we're going to keep holding people accountable more and more for their bad actions or negligent actions. Groomers, trainers, boarding facilities, veterinarians, if you harm our pet, we just have to hold you accountable. We don't have to charge you criminally, but if you were negligent, just be accountable for it. And we just want to hear more accountability and hold people accountable so they'll change their behavior.
What is a superpower a dog has that you wish you had and why? If you could channel one superpower a dog has, what would it be?
Oh, to wake up every day happy. To start every day happy and end every day happy. What a much better life it would be. There's just so many things that can get in your way or distract you from your happiness, but not when you're a dog.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I like that one a lot. Hey, everybody, we've been speaking with Jeremy Cohen of the Boston Dog Lawyers. Check out the website. Go ahead and say what it is. How can people find out and get that phone ringing for you?
BostonDogLawyers.com. And you can also reach us at 844-D-O-G-A-T-T-Y.
Oh, snap. That's a good number. Yeah.
Always happy to help answer a question or two. Better to find out things in advance before you jump into something. And we're happy to help with that.
Well, I am definitely going to have you back, Jeremy Cohen, and thank you for sharing some of these things. We could talk all day, but I wish you lived closer because I would treat you to, I'm actually a licensed bartender. I'd make you whatever cocktail you'd want, and it could be a mocktail, but I would do that to celebrate all that you're doing for pets. And also at this time, I want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio, the largest radio network for pets. Humbly, you're on Obehave, which has been on the air the longest since 2007. And we just got awarded the President's Award by the Cat Writers for our show. And we've been named the top pet podcast. So please check out our site and all the other guests and hosts of the different shows on Pet Life Radio. And check out Pet First Aid for You, like Jeremy Cohen, who's trying to get good legal care and compassion for pets. I'm all about saving pet lives with our vet-approved program. So check out Pet First Aid for You because we teach in-person, interactive Zoom, and now self-paced courses all to different levels. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.